Morning. Today's daf is daf tesvav in Temura. We're towards the bottom of Yedalad Amud Beis. In the middle of Yedalad Amud Beis. Kias Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. We started the new parak yesterday. Temura, second parak, started off with a comparison between the carbon zebra versus the carbon yachid. Carbon yachid, you can make a temura with a carbon yachid. Of course, you shouldn't. It's an issur in the Torah, but nevertheless, you can do so with a carbon yachid, but you can't do it with a carbon zebra. Okay? It only works by an individual, not by a zebra. How do we know that? So then you have to turn back one more daf to daf yid gimel, where the Gemara over there brought in machlokas tanayim. In terms of how we derive that halacha, but it's a halacha. The halacha is accepted. You can only affect temura with an individual carbon, not with a communal carbon. And then the Mishnah gave a whole other series of halachas that are going to be different between a carbon yachid versus a carbon tzibur. And then yesterday we got a nice little segue into a discussion about Torah Shebaal Peh versus Torah Shebichtav. Okay, but in the meantime, however, the main discussion that came about was the differences between a carbon yachid versus a carbon tzibur, and kiyas Rav Dima and Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yosef. So the Gemara now is going to quote in the name of Rav Dima, in the name of Rav Yochanan, going back to Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef. Ela tasul Hashem b'moadechem. So these are the carbonates that you're going to do on your moadechem, on your yontif. Elu chavas haregel. So these are the carbonates that are as an obligation for yontif. Levad minidrechem unidvosechem. The pasuk then goes on to continue. You know, on yontif you can also bring neder nedava. Now neder nedava, right? In other words, if you have a voluntary offering that you set aside over the course of the year, and now you're in Yerushalayim anyway because it's yontif, and you have a mitzvah to be up in Yerushalayim and yontif. So therefore, you're going to bring any neder nedava that you are obligated to bring. Limed al neder nedava shekreven b'chol shamoed. And there's a chiddush here, because you know you can't bring your neder nedav on yontif, meaning on yontif you only have a heter to bring the karbanos that you have to bring on yontif. You're certainly not allowed to bring any voluntary offerings on yontif, but what you can do, though, is chol hamoed, you can bring all your nedarim and nedavos. Ula olos seichem b'makas medaber. And then the Torah goes on to describe, and on yontif, you're also going to bring your olos. So what's that talking about? So ibalos neder harikvar mor, nidrechem. Look, if they're voluntary offerings, that's already covered in the pasuk. The pasuk already says nedo nedava. So, when the Torah then goes on to add ola, what are we talking about? Ha ina medabe ela ba olas yoledes volas mitzora. Okay, so it's talking about olas yoledes, olas mitzora. Person is either concluding, she's concluding her tumas leida, and the conclusion requires her to bring a carbon, and part of the carbon is an ola. So that also can be brought on yontif. And the mitzora, if he concludes, or she concludes, her tzaras, so that also could be brought in yontif as well. Ula mincha osechem emekas medaber. So again, we're just continuing in the pasuk. And you know what else you're bringing on yontif? Your menachos. What mincha are we talking about? Iba menachos nedar harikva amur. Iba minchas nedava harikva amur. So it can't be nedar nedava, because it's already been covered. Ha'ina medaber ela ben minchas sota uve minchas kenaos. Okay? The mincha of a sota and the mincha of kinaos. Kinaos over here means yeah, but that's what's the difference between that and sota? Sorry. Okay, maybe I'll come back to this. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, minchas chote. Oh, that makes better. Okay, the shita changes it from minchas sota to minchas chote. Right. In other words, sometimes a person, if he is in a financial situation, will not bring a regular chatas, but will bring a mincha. Okay, minchas chote. Fine. That works out a little bit better. Ol nischem l'shamechem. Okay, and finally, and this is the whole reason why we brought this whole drushin over here, is because of this point over here, and the nesachim as well. Mekish nechasim l'shlamim. And the Torah equates Nesachim, the libations together with Shlamim. Shlamim bayom after Nesachim ayom. That just like the Shlamim have to become during the day, all karbanos are brought during the day. So the Nesachim, the complementary libations, the wine, oil, and wheat that come together with a carbon must also be brought during the day. And finally, the shlamechem is coming to include shlamenazir. Period. Okay, Adkan, that's the entire brisa. Really, the whole reason why we brought this brisa is because we wanted to point out that nesachim are treated like shlamim. Just like shlamim were brought during the day, so to nesachim as well. Is there a possibility that nesachim can be brought at night? Yes, but that's only if the nesachim are coming independently. If nesachim are offered independently, so then they can be offered at night. That's what we discussed in yesterday's daf, but in conjunction with the carbon they brought during the day, period. Amalei Abaye v'leim amar shalmei Pesach. So Abaye says to him, you know, what about shalmei Pesach? What about the shlamim of Pesach, the ishalmei nazir? Because if you think we're talking about shalmei nazir, so nidav and nidavu. That's neder, meaning nazirus is a neder. In other words, it's a funny neder, meaning it's a nazirus is not just a carbon, but it's a carbon plus I will spend at least the next 30 days not drinking wine and not cutting my hair. And okay, but in other words, there's a process to get to that carbon, but ultimately, when all said and done, nazirus is just a neder, right? In fact, when the Torah introduces nazirus to us, it introduces it as a form of a neder. The Hatani will not embrace it. Zakla, kosher nidav and nidav krabi bamas yachid. Vishainu nidav and nidav and a krabi bamas yachid. And I'm going to make a case that, of course, nazirus is a neder. Because look, here's a litmus test. You want to see whether something's neder than dava? So see if you can offer in your backyard. Now, in our backyards, the best thing we can have is a grill and a barbecue. That's it. But back in the good old days, they used to have carbonos being brought in their backyards. Historically, it was a short period of time, meaning during the 369 years of Shiloh, they didn't have Bamas Yachid. And during the 400 years of Bais Rishon and the over 400 years of Bais Sheni, they didn't have a Bamas Yachid. But between the destruction of Shiloh, well, for the first 14 years as we upon entering the land, and then between the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which was 50 plus years, that's it. So there was a heter to bring a carbon in your backyard. But the heter only extended for kabanos, which were nedav and nedava. Okay, and that's it. Utsanan, and we learned in the Mishnah, hamenachos v'hanezirus kriven bebamas yachid, the Reb Meir. And meanwhile, we know that a mincha and a zirus can be offered in your backyard. Okay, good. So the whole litmus test to see whether something's nedava is if I could bring it in my backyard bama. And nazirus, I can bring in my backyard bama, so it is clear, it is evident that nazirus is a neder. So the Gemara says, samim mikan nazirus. Okay, so the Gemara says, so take out nazirus over there, because nazirus is ultimately a neder nedava, and as we already pointed out, that was covered by the earlier part of the brisa. And the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? And that is, Miketz Arba'im Shana V'yomar Avshalom El HaMalach. At the end of 40 years, Avshalom says to the king, now Avshalom is the son of the king. Avshalom is prepared to start a rebellion against the king. Right? A tragic story. And the end of Shmuel Beis. So, El Chanava Ashalemis Nedarai Asher Nadarti L'Hashem Bechavron Ki Nadar Nadar Avdecha. So Avshalom says to his father, I got to go to Chevron. Now, the real reason why he has to go to Chevron is because he has to start his rebellion against his father. But he doesn't want to tell his father that. That's a little bit insulting. So rather than say that, he says, you know what? Let me go to Chevron because I'm going to bring a carbon in Chevron. Now, Chevron's a funny place to bring a carbon, meaning it's not Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim hasn't been built yet. It's not Shiloh, but Shiloh's already been destroyed. So we're in that period. We're in that small little window of history where Shiloh's destroyed and Yerushalayim's not yet built. So there is that option of bringing a carbon in your backyard. So for Avshalom, he wanted his backyard to be Chevron. Okay, end of 40 years. The Gemara later on will talk about 40 years of what? Who's 40 years? But anyway, so El Chanav Avshalom is Nidarai, Shur Nadar Tal Shem Bechevron, Ki Nadar Nadar Avdecha. So my love, a carbon. So the Gemara says, now, when he says he's going to bring something in Chevron, so what is he talking about? Presumably, it's talking about the carbon, meaning that he's going to bring the carbon for the conclusion of his Nazirus. So the Gemara says, Lo Aikar Nidro. So the Gemara says, well, no. Maybe what the Pasuk is referring to is that No, I can't go offer the carbon in Chevron because that's not where the Bama Gadola is. But let me at least conclude my Naziros in Chevron because that's where it started. But the Gemara says, but that's not factually correct. So the Gemara says, just from a fact standpoint, his neder did not occur in Chevron. It occurred in Gashur. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he went to Chevron only to get the sheep. But in other words, he wasn't going to offer it in Chevron. So the Gemara attempts to make the following argument. Look, he's in Yerushalayim right now. So it's strange. He's going to leave Yerushalayim, go to Chevron, and offer carbon in Chevron. The Gemara, in this question, the Gemara is assuming there is. There's got to be something. So,
is that like a known fact? Was it Bama well before he became a Jew?
I don't know, and the Gemara is assuming it's so. So I only have to go the Gemara to work with, but it seems that way. So so it's strange. He's going to leave Yerushalayim and go to Chevron and offer carbon in Chevron. That's strange. So the Gemara says so. It must be that he went to Chevron only to get his animal. So the Elamai Lahavi Kvasim Chevron Hai Ashen Adat Hashem. So the Gemara says the grammar doesn't work out. Because then the Pasuk in the Navi describes that he's going bichevron. And if you want to argue, like you're arguing right now, that he's bringing the animal from Chevron, so the correct prefix would have been mechevron and not bichevron. So it just, this is not working out. Ella, so the Gemara says, okay. La'olam la'kruving. Okay, so the Gemara says, we were right all along. Avshalom's argument to his father, not his argument, but his excuse to his father is, I'm going to go to Chevron and I'm going to offer my carbon in Chevron. So, like we've said from the very beginning, we've established that he's going to bring the carbonos for the conclusion of his Naziros. And we've established that Shiloh is no longer around and that Yerushalayim is not yet built. So this is now, we're in the period of Bamas Yachid. And he's offering the carbon in Bamas Yachid in Chevron in the private altar. With the Kashla, Chamay, Shavik, Yerushalayim, Amaki, Bechevron. So the Gemara says, and what bothers you? The fact of the matter is that he leaves Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, Tichshel Givon, Demakum Kadoshu. So the Gemara says, look, you could ask about Yerushalayim, you could ask about Givon, meaning Givon is where the Bama Gedola was. You could ask about Givon. Ella, Kevin Shehutra, Abam, it's called Hechad Abai Makrif. So the Gemara says, so ultimately what you have to say is that once Shiloh's been destroyed, and once there's permission to offer carbon wherever you want, you can go wherever you want. And for whatever reason, the Gemara doesn't really explain, he preferred to go down to Chevron. I mean, the real reason is because that's where the rebellion was starting. But, you know, why how did David hear Chevron as opposed to anywhere else? Well, whatever. I don't know. But, okay. So that is another proof, again, that the carbonos of a nazir is really neder nedavon. Falls under the category of neder, and like we said from the very beginning, so therefore our only conclusion left in this brisa is to simply take out the word neder from the brisa because that already falls under the category of neder. Okay, and finally, Arbaim Shana Laman. Okay, 40 years, right? That's how the pasuk in Shmuel Bet starts. Miketz Arbaim Shana Vayomer Avshalom El HaMelech. At the end of 40 years, so Avshalom says to the king. Now, 40 years, what are we counting from? So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Nuhurai, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, Miketz Arbaim Shani, Shalohem Melech. This is the end of 40 years where they asked for a king. The Tanya. And the Gemara is going to give us a very raw timeline. Oso Shana Shalohem Melech, Oso Shana Asiri Shal Shmuel Haisa. Shmuel was a king. I know we don't usually refer to him as that. We usually refer to him as a Navi. Okay? He's a king. Meaning king over here does not mean the official king position. King over here just simply means he was the leader of the Jewish people.
Right,
he was a leader. So 10 years, this is now the 10th year of Shmuel's reign, and they say, we would like a king. So Asar Shanim Malach Shmuel Ba'atzmo. So 10 years now where Shmuel ruled by himself. Acha Shemalach Sha'ul Shmuel. 1 year where there was a joint venture of Shaul and Shmuel, Shaim Shemalach Shaul, 2 years of Shaul on his own, Batzmo, Shoshim Vishem Shemalach David, and then another 37 years where David reigned. So given this very raw timeline, so you now have, when it says the 40th year, it means 40 years since they asked for a king. Okay, and that's, so we're already well into David HaMelech's reign, meaning we're in the 37th year of David HaMelech's reign, plus another 2 years of Shaul, plus another year of Shaul and Shmuel working together. Okay, kind of happily, not so. And this is only going to be 3 years before the end of David's rule. Right. Okay, and that's what the pasuk in Avshalom in Shmuel means when it says at the end of 40 years. Good. Period. Long Rashi over here. Rashi goes through the pasukim. Rashi, everything that the Gemara points out over here, Rashi cites the pasuk in terms of where this could be found in the Navi. Okay. We start now the new Mishnah, and here it comes, the Chatos HaMesos. Okay, sometimes the fate of a carbon is that there's nothing left to do with it, and okay, so we're going to let it die. Meaning you can't bring it as a carbon, and it's not, there's no blemish in the animal, so the animal can't be redeemed, and we're not going to wait for it to get a blemish, as I'll explain in just a moment why not. And so therefore, the only thing left is let it die. Okay, it sounds a little bit cruel, but as we pointed out many times, the Tzar Balei Chaim is only if there's no purpose, if there's no reason. If the Torah's instruction is let the animal die, so that's obviously purpose. There's a reason why we're letting that happen. Now, there classically are five different categories of a carbon chatas where the animal is left to die. Okay, so quickly let's hit them all. Okay, number one, the owner dies. So the owner dies, so the owner now has already received his kapara. So so therefore, the carbon chatas now is useless.
He uses
the animal, I guess,
a replacement
and finds it again. So, right, so he chatas, where the owner lost his carbon chatas, replaced it with another carbon chatas, offered that, and then found its replacement. Okay, so he doesn't need his carbon chatas anymore, as he already received atonement through the replacement. And so now this one over here is going to be, again, left to die. The animal is too old, right?
Passes the
age. Okay, so that's going to be another one. And then finally, two more. Vlad chatas, right? Vlad chatas, the offspring of a carbon chatas. Chatas is a female most of the time. Sometimes a chatas is a male. We just talked about that yesterday's daf. But most of the time a chatas is a female, so it's possible that it can now deliver a baby. So normally in the world of karbanos, the baby is the same kedusha as its mother. But in this particular case, mother's a chatas, which means that she's coming for a specific purpose. And the baby now, which is born a chatas, has nothing to do with the baby. So unfortunately, it's another animal that is left to die. And finally, tamuras chatas, where if I make an exchange between one carbon chatas and another animal, and now the kedusha goes to the next animal, but it's a kedusha that needs to be bought for a specific purpose, but it doesn't have anything to be bought for, so therefore it's left to die as well. Okay, so those are your five chatos amesos. These are the five carbon chatases that need to die. You cannot wait until it gets a blemish and then redeem it with its blemish. It doesn't work that way. By other carbonos, that's an option. Over here, that's simply not an option. Where do we know all this from? Everything I just said, where does it all come from? Halach l'moshe m'Sinai. Right, it is part of the oral tradition. The Rambam, when talking about Torah Shabbat Peh, so he breaks up into different categories, and this falls under the category of Moshe was told this on Har Sinai, and just passed it down from generation to generation. There's no pasuk. There's no allusion to a pasuk. Actually, you know, they have a mnemonic. Yeah, the one of the pilagshim, one of the concubines of, is it Esav? Yeah. So one of the concubines of Esav, her name was Timna. Right. So, in other words, it's Vitimna. In other words, if you read the pasuk inside, it's Vitimna. So the Vav Tav Mem Nun Ayin. So that is a mnemonic to help you remember the five chatas amesos.
It's not the concubine of Esav, it's the concubine of the son, and she's the mother of
the Moloch. Right. The mother, right, right. Right. Why should she have the privilege of having such a mnemonic? I don't know. I mean, the mnemonic is, it's just a memory aid. I don't know how much of a connection you want to make between, you know, the name and the concept, but okay. Anyway, that's just, I say all that by words of introduction, and now we start with our Mishnah. So, Temura Daf Tezvav, and we start. Chatzas HaYachid Shekibur Ba'alaha, Mesa V'shel Tzibur Eina Mesa. Okay, individual Chatzas, where the owner received a kapara through another animal, meaning he lost this animal, he replaced it, and then he finds this animal, so Mesa, so it needs to die. But what if this happened with a Tzibur? Meaning, well, let's see if you have a communal carbon Chatzas. Every Rosh Chodesh we have a communal carbon chatas. Every Yontiv we have a communal carbon chatas. So let's say this happened with a communal carbon chatas, where we lost it, replaced it, got a kapara through the replacement, and then found the lost one. Now what? Yeah, now what? So the Mishnah says, Eina Mesa. According to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, it's not put to death. Okay? So in other words, according to the Tanakama, there is a halacha lamoshe misinai. That a chatas where you got a kapara through another animal is left to die, but that's only by an individual chatas, not by a communal chatas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Thomas, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda says that that animal is in fact left to die. Okay, and he's of the opinion that the halach l'moshe m'sinai incorporates not only the individual but the communal carbon chatas. Okay, you want to try to figure this one out? I'll give you a problem. It's an issue. You know, we find very often throughout the Gemara Machlokas.
But what are the circumstances that this could happen? I mean, it's like, how could they lose it for a communal chatat or like get it tomorrow?
Less likely that a community is going to lose it, but it can happen.
Is that, in the case that the town council said that you don't live it to die, what do they do with it?
You let it graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem it. Like you would do for...
The community would redeem it?
Yeah, in other words, the community would redeem it. Meaning, no, you...
Because the community won that.
Once it gets a blemish, so now you can sell it. Sell it to anybody who would like to eat it.
The community would sell it.
Yeah, right. I mean, right. Correct. The Gizbar would sell it. Okay, small issue over here, which... I mean, it's a big issue, but usually what we find... We find a lot of machlokas, right? We find machlokas throughout, meaning... I don't know if we've seen a daf in the daf Yomi that didn't have a machlokas. Okay, remember though, it's not, this is a very general point, but it's always worth mentioning, right? The machlokas is only on the fine issue, on the fine points, meaning there's more consensus in Gemara than there's disagreement, right? I know we focus on the disagreement because, you know, that's only the fine ends, but really, truth of the matter is that most of the time we're all in the same ballpark. It's just a question of, a couple degrees fair or foul. But that's, it's basically it. Meanwhile, however, the Rambam writes that when it comes to halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you'll never find machlokas. Meaning, let's say, for example, what's the shear that I need to eat in order to fulfill a mitzvah or to violate an isser? So the shear is usually, we say, a kezias, right? The size of an olive, right? There's no debate. That's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There just simply is no machlokas whatsoever. How many tefachim off the ground before the sukkah becomes possible? So three tefachim because of the principle of lavud. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's no machlokas. So the Rambam says that whenever it comes to halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's no machlokas. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we have over here a Mishnah Temura that's talking about which chatas is subject to die. All this is not based on psukim, it's not based on interpretation. It's based strictly on halacha l'moshe m'sinai and... Basically, we're in the middle of a machlokas, meaning there's a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, whether or not this rule of chatas in iskapru v'ahala v'acheres applies to a communal chatas or just a prati, just an individual chatas. Okay, so...
But the thing is, what's ironic, that's like a real tradition that's supposed to have been handed down. So how could it be that he only got it and they didn't get it? Like,
right, correct. So I'm pointing out that it's difficult. It's the idea that we're having a machlokas here on this issue, it's difficult. It's a conceptually, it's just very difficult, but it's happening. Meaning, the reality is that there is a machlokas.
It sounds like that he has a machlokas against the
against what is the tradition. Yeah. Right. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mel Matzino Bavlad Chatas Utmuras Chatas, or Chatas Shemesu Bala, Dvar Mamor and Biyachiv Alabitzibor. Rabbi Shimon's going to make the same point as the Tanakhama, but invoke a svara. He's going to use an argument. And the argument's very good. Look, as I introduced this Mishnah, I told you that there were five chatas, amesos. Five times where the chatas needs to die simply because it is purposeless, so therefore it needs to die. Now, of those five, how many are actually applicable to the community? Meaning, how many of them can actually occur vis-a-vis the community? So the answer is not a lot of them. So the which ones are we going to heat? Three of the five are just simply NA, not applicable. Okay, number one is Vlad Chatas. Vlad Chatas can't be by the Tzibor. Why not? Very simple. Because the communal Chatas is male. Okay, so that's the male. The male's not going to have a child. Good. So that already can't, NA, not applicable for the Tzibor, right? Sir Chatas Echad, Sir Echad Lechatas. It's Sir, it's not Sira. Okay, that's number one. Number two is Tamur's Chatas, an exchange Chatas, also not applicable by the community. Why not? Because like we learned yesterday's daf, a Tzibor can't affect a Tamura. Okay, so that's also not in the discussion. And finally, Chatas Shemesu Ba'aleha. The owner dies. I don't have a scenario by a community where the owner dies. The owner is a community, and as we'll see later on today, a community does not die. Okay, the community is almost like, okay, lahavdil, but just to give you an idea, it's like a corporation, right? So I know it's a big discussion in politics whether corporations are people, but the. And I'm not really sure if the two have one to do with each other, but a community is like a corporation, so it's its own entity with a life in of itself, so it doesn't die. So fine. So in other words, so of the five chatos, three of them are just simply not applicable. So but two there are, meaning what's one, the one that we just discussed, kapur baleh ba'acheres, where the community lost a carbon. It's possible, unlikely as you pointed out, but possible. And the other one is where the carbon got too old. And because it got too old, therefore it is no longer eligible. Those can occur by a communal chatas. Rabbi Shimon's argument is, well, since three don't apply, even though it's not applicable, so it's not really fair to compare, but I'll compare it. Three don't apply, so the other two don't apply as well. Okay? That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It really is the same thing as the Tanakama. But he uses a svara, meaning all five is a package deal. Either all five will be applied or none will apply. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara, we start with the Gemara. Mahu omer chatas yavi minayin lamakdish chatas ova avda vihifrish acheres tachtev v'nimtzas harishona kayemes v'arishtehem omdos. So here we have a slightly different, slightly modified scenario than what we discussed back in the Mishnah. Here I lost my chatas, I replaced it with another. And then I found I found the one I lost. And I'm looking at both of them right now. Now, I only need one, because it's one Avera, one Chata. So I can't offer both. So what do I do? She'ezem em she'yirtze yavi. So, whichever one I'd prefer. I have a choice. Now, what's going to happen with the other one? We'll get to in just a moment. Tamalomer Chata, yachol yavi shteim, tamalomer yiviena. Okay, so yavi tells me that I can bring you the one I want, but on the other hand, I can only bring one. Fine. Okay, so now I have two carbon chatases. I only need to bring one of them. I could choose which one I want to bring. Fine. What happens now with the unfortunate chatas that didn't get offered? I'm Rav Hamanuna. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer. Tire Rav Shimon Omer Tamas. So here we have a machlokas between the Tanayim, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that second one is left to die. And Rabbi Yehuda says the second one is left to graze, and then develop a blemish, redeem it. Okay. Umi amar Rabbi Yehuda tira. So the Gemara says, now that's strange. Rabbi Yehuda says, let it graze. Rabbi Yehuda tamush aminan. Rabbi Yehuda taught us explicitly that the animal is left to die. So epoch. Rabbi Yehuda amar tamus. Rabbi Shimon amar tira. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's try this. Take the brisa and invert the brisa. So now I have Rabbi coronation between Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, good, you've gained coronation with Rabbi Yehuda, you lost Rabbi Shimon. There are five chatas amesos. So the Gemara says, okay, so not a good solution. meaning if the solution only creates another problem, so it's not a good solution. So don't invert the brisa, keep it as it is. Velo kasha, kan ba'avuda b'shas hafrasha, kan ba'avuda b'shas kapara. And the Gemara says, and here's how we're going to resolve it. It's very simple. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let the animal graze. Right? Aye, but Rabbi Yehuda also says that if such a scenario were to occur, the animal has to die. Right? It's one of the five chatos amesos. It's very simple. The halacha that the animal has to die is only if I find the animal after I received a kapara with its replacement. The halacha that I let it graze is where I find it before I received the kapara with its replacement. And so therefore, if I'm looking at both of them, meaning I found the lost one before I offered the replacement, I'm looking at both of them, so now I'll choose which one I want, and the replacement gets the graze. If, however, I offer the replacement, and then and only then I found the lost one, then the lost one is left to die. Good. That's how we're going to resolve Rabbi Yehuda. Ibai sema yidiv yidiv b'shas hafrasha v'lo kasha ha-Rabbi Yehuda aliba de Rabbi, ha-Rabbi Yehuda aliba de Rabbanan. The Gemara says, or we can leave both of them as b'shas hafrasha, meaning that I found the lost one before I offer the replacement. And it could be that Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's espousing two viewpoints, is actually not espousing his own viewpoint, but rather machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim in terms of what were to occur with an animal where I lost it, replaced it, and found the lost one before offering the replacement. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, I'm going to show you that we have this idea of chata sibor where they got a kapara and that such a chatas needs to be put to death. The Gemara points out, but we do find the following braisa. Kayotze bo. Similarly, meaning we're in the middle of a sentence right now. So what's happening before that? So Rashi says, I don't know. Right? Right? Huh? Yeah, well. Right, we're in the middle of a sentence, kayotze bo, and Rashi says, lo isparish hechakai. I don't know what was said previously.
You have no idea what context is here.
Yeah. So take a look at Tosos. Tosos says it could be this is part of Torah's Kohanim, and it's difficult because Rashi knew his Torah's Kohanim. In fact, I showed you Rashi just a couple of days ago where Rashi knew Torah's Kohanim inside out. Okay, so, anyway, when Rashi says, I don't know, that's much different than when I say, I don't know, right? you understand. So, Kayotze bo amar av Yosef ve'heviyum me'ashvi b'nei agola hikrivu olos parim shtem asar elim tish'im. We have the tisha, change it to vishisha, 96. Kvasim shivim v'shiva sirei chata shnei masar hakol ola lahashem. Pasuk in Ezra describes that when we came back in to build the second temple, and when we built the second temple, so we inaugurated with a lot of karbonos. Now this is not really Chanukah. These karbonos are not for inauguration. Some maybe, but clearly there were 12 seirim, 12 goats that were brought as a carbon chatas. Okay. At this early stage of the discussion, you know, we don't know a whole lot of information, but first of all, it's simple to conjecture that the 12 are representative of the 12 tribes. They're bringing a chatas, that's fine, that part we get. Here's the strange part. The pasuk says, HaKol Ola LaHashem. All of them are Olas. That's just difficult. It's a difficult pasuk, meaning that of the first series of karbanos that were brought, right, the bulls and the rams, okay, and the sheep, so fine, so they're olas. But then the seirei chatas, that's a little bit strange to say that seirei chatas are olas. That just doesn't make any sense. Meaning either it's a chatas or it's an ola. It can't be a chatas, which we're going to offer as an ola. It's bizarre. The chatas mikreva ola, so that's basically the Gemara's question. Meaning, what's going on over here? So, Amarava ki ola ma ola inanachalas af chatas inanachalas. Okay, so when it says ola, it means it's like an ola.
But there's a category of voluntary communal offering that could be a goat. It could be a seer for community. There's a category.
What nedava?
Communal volunteer.
Yeah, I understand that, but the pasuk in Ezra says that it's a chatas. Meaning, you're right, there could be a category, but the pasuk describes it as being a carbon chatas, and then it labels it as an ola. That's the confusion, meaning they're different. Chatas and ola are two different carbonos. So the Gemara says that when it says they were ola, meaning it was treated like an ola, which means they weren't eaten. Okay, fine. Kind of fine. Meaning, a chatas that's not eaten, where do we see that? It's precedented, right? On Yom Kippur, we have a chatas that's not eaten. And also, right, Aaron also, correct. And that was a whole fight between Aaron and Moshe. And also, by communal Avodah Zarah. Meaning, if that, the community were over at Avodah Zarah, and they want to now bring a kapara, now it's going to be a little bit difficult, because later on the Gemara is going to point out, that's only b'shogeg. That's only if it's done inadvertently by the community. Meaning somehow Beis Din came out with a ruling that said that Avodah Zarah is fine. Strange how Beis Din would come out with such a ruling, but just imagine for a moment they did, and then the community was over at Avodah Zarah, so there's a special carbon that's brought, and it's a special place in the Torah where this is described. Where is this described in the Torah? Parsha Shlach. Okay. It's a strange place. But that's where it's described. And that's another scenario where you offer carbon chatas. The blood of that carbon chatas is sprinkled against the curtain that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that carbon is Nisraf. That carbon is going to be burnt. So that's the scenario where the carbon chatas is totally burnt. Shahaya Rabbi Yossi Omer al Avodah Zarah Hiviyum. Now, though that generation of Ezra who comes back into Eretz Yisrael, so their position is we were over to Avodah Zarah. We'll talk exactly when in just a moment. And so therefore, in light of that fact, we're going to bring a carbon, and the carbon we're going to bring is the seir for Avodah Zarah, communal Avodah Zarah. And that carbon is not to be eaten, and that's why the Pasuk in Ezra treats it like an ola. Okay. A lot of missing pieces to this story. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel al Avodah Zarah she'asu bimei Tzidkiyahu. When were they Oved Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says during the kingdom of Tzidkiyahu. Now don't get fooled by his name. Right? It's easy. Right? The generation of Tzidkiyahu was not a good generation. They were Oved Avodah Zarah. Right, contributed to the destruction of the first temple. Right, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that first temple was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah.
This is like at least 7 years later.
At least,
right?
What did you say? 7 or 70?
70.
Correct. Okay, that's where we're going with all this. Okay, so Tzidkiyahu was the last king of Yehuda, so that means that they were over to Avodah Zarah at the conclusion of the first temple period. Now, as Ben accurately points out now, we're at least 70 years later. Okay, now, it's possible the Gemara later on will make this argument that there were people who lived during the end of the first temple who are now witnessing and are here for the second temple. But hold off on that for just a moment. So now, Kasaka Daitan Lamandi Islei Chata Sibershin is Kapu Balaha Mesa Islei Nami Chata Sibur Shemesu Ba'aleha. So the Gemara says, so over here, are we not dealing with a scenario where you have a Sibor who's dead? Meaning, previously we said, well, there's no such thing. Sounds like from this storyline and from this timeline, it sounds like there is such a thing where I have a those who actually sinned were back in the first temple during the period of Tzidkiyahu, and those that are offering the carbon presumably are not the same people. Okay. So, Shemesu Ba'ala, Mesa Vahahacha De'ika, De Mesa Ba'alaha Vikakarva. So the Gemara says exactly that the people who sinned are dead, and now it's a new generation that's bringing the carbon. Okay? And right now, the Gemara is assuming 70 years later, totally new generation. Amar Rav Papa, Filamanda Amar, Chata Sibra Shekapu Ba'ala, Mesa, Chata Sibra Shemesu Ba'ala, I'm sorry, Shemesu Ba'ala, Eino Mesa, Lefi She'ein Hatzibor Mesim. So the Gemara says, look, it's not a good case study, it's not a good discussion. Why not? because Sibur doesn't die, right? Like we said in the beginning of today's daf, when introducing this Mishnah, we treated Sibur kind of like a corporation, meaning a Sibur is an entity unto itself. So if we're bringing a carbon on behalf of the Sibur, even though the people themselves are no longer here, but we're talking about the Sibur as an entity into themselves, and so therefore it's fair to bring a carbon chatas for its Sibur, even though the Sibur is no longer there. Manala le Rapapa, huh? So how did Rapapa know this? Okay. Meaning, I think we all understand the basic concept, but where's the source for it? So is it from the pasuk in Tehillim, Ihach Yefeli Achinami? No, because that pasuk over there, Tachas Avasecha Yubanecha, the children will replace the father.
There are two variables. One is that the Sibur is dead, but there had to have an animal that was designated with that generation. That animal couldn't be alive either 7 years later.
Right, and even if it was, it's too old.
No, right.
Right, so that's correct. Correct. So Ihach Yefeli Achinami. So the Gemara says, look, that pasuk in Tehillim, you know, that... don't understand that pasuk legally. Meaning that pasuk is not saying that from a legal standpoint the son's going to replace the father, because if that's true, so then the son could bring a carbon yachid, a chatas, for his father. And that's out of hand. That is out of hand, preposterous. Elahaina time machine it's Sibra Mesa Misiri Regalim Virashe Chadasha. And the Gemara makes the argument, look, I know that there's this concept of the community doesn't die because Amar Rahmana, I seen him in Shumas Alishka. Look, here's how it works. Monies are collected from everyone in the community. Monies are pulled together into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? The Masechta that talks about this in its entirety is Masechta Shkalim. And then here's what happens. Over the course of the year, we have a budget, we collect the money in advance, and we use that money to pay for the karbanos. Now, it's got to be that over the course of the year, unfortunately, people are going to die. And so what you have now is that you have money collected from people, and meanwhile, just from a statistic standpoint, some of those people are going to die. And how does that money from a dead person work? And the answer is very simple. Because when they gave money to the Tzibor, and now that money is not his money, it's part of the Tzibor money, it's a corporate entity. And because now it's part of the Tzibor, so therefore, we disassociate the money from him. Same thing over here, meaning that the concept is that a Sibur just simply doesn't die. V'dilma mesu ma'ayar dahani zuze alalash ma'amina and it's Sibur mesim. Okay, so that's one way we know that a Sibur does not die, that a Sibur has a life unto itself. Iba yisema ki akrivun alani chatos achaye akarvino dechsiv. The Gemara makes another suggestion now, meaning up until now, the assumption going into this is that this generation that comes back in to build the second temple during the period of Ezra are a totally new generation. How can they bring a carbon for mistakes that were made of a previous generation? So the concept that we employed is Sibur Eina Mesa, that the community doesn't die. But now what the Gemara is going to suggest is maybe that's not true. Meaning, maybe the concept is a good concept, but maybe this won't be the source for that. Why? Because maybe the people that came in to build the second temple are actually those who witnessed the destruction of the first temple. And that's not just conjecture, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki akrivun la hanichatas achay akrivun dechsev, v'rabim me'akohanim alavim v'rashay avos v'azakenim, asher ra'u es habayis harishon, b'yazdo ze habayis, bochim b'kol gadol, v'rabim b'tshuwa. Okay, the pasuk tells us that there were people who saw the first temple and its destruction and the construction of the second temple. And if that's accurate, so then really the problem never gets off the ground. Meaning they're bringing a carbon chatas for sins that were done by a previous generation? No. These were the same people who actually sinned. Okay. They minimally have to be 83 years of age. Minimally. Meaning...
No, but you don't get any sins there when you're a child. You have to wait until you're 20 or you get sins like that.
I'm saying... Yeah. At the least, they have to be 83. And it's going to make this next statement to the Gemara really difficult. But the Gemara is going to say it, so watch. And it's not really, don't blame the Gemara. Really, the Pasuk is going to say it. Meaning, of the people who were remnants of the first temple versus the new generation who are now building the second temple, who do you think was more? Right? Who represented the majority of that group? Right. I would have said, I think intuitively, we all would have said the new ones. And now what the Gemara is about to argue is, no. Okay, listen. V'dilma hanach miyuta, maybe this group, meaning of the previous generation, maybe they represented a minority, which I think is intuitive, but the Gemara says, lo mapsi samart. Gemara says, that's not accurate. Dichsiv, now here we have, right, Ein ha'am, I'm trying to read the correct girsa of the pasuk. Ein ha'am makirim kol trua tasimcha lekol bechi ha'am. Okay, there were mixed emotions at the building of the second temple. The pasuk in Ezra describes that there was celebration, then there was crying. Okay, who is crying? It's such a telling story. So the people who saw the destruction of the first temple. Because in other words, for them, they actually were able to compare Temple 1 to Temple 2. Temple 2 was the shadow of Temple 1, right? Temple 1, there were nisim neflos, there were open miracles. Temple 2, not a single miracle took place during
No Aron,
meaning it was a shell. It was a shell of Bais Rishon. Right? I shared you with this with you many times. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a wonderful piece. He talks about how Bayis Sheni was just kind of like a preparation for Galus, meaning it wasn't meant to be a permanent structure. I mean, you talk about a temporary structure of 420 years, but still, the basic idea is that it wasn't even meant as a permanent structure. So the people who saw the first temple were crying, and the pasuk in Ezra describes that they drowned out the voices of celebration, meaning the crying was a stronger emotion, a louder emotion than that of celebration. So now the Gemara is making the argument that, and again, I know it's not intuitive, but making the argument that there were more people from the previous generation than there were now currently of the new generation. Okay, and so therefore it obviates the whole issue, meaning the issue was how are we bringing carbon chatas for people from a previous generation, and now this approach of the Gemara is it's not the new generation offering the carbon, it's actually that generation who were actually over to Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara says Vehechi Makar Velu Vare Mizidim. Now the Gemara is going to deal with some of the finer issues. They're bringing a carbon chatas. You know, you only bring a carbon chatas if you're shogeg, right? If you do it inadvertently, I could point to one area in halacha where you bring a carbon even if it's mezin, right? By a suppression of testimony. Okay, well there it's mezin to shogeg, but generally speaking, though, and certainly by avodah zarah, you only bring a carbon if you're shogeg. And during the period of Tzidkiyahu, they weren't shogegin; they were mezidin. So the Gemara is just asking simple question: what are you doing bringing a carbon? Amar Rav Yochanan hara sha'a haisa. So Rav Yochanan says hara sha'a, meaning that this does not conform to normal legal practice, but it was a special exception. Okay, and this happens every now and then. Hara sha'a. Look, because you have to say that because 12, the 12 chataos, that I understand, one for each shaven. Fine. But the se'irim, how many se'irim did we count earlier? 77? What's that number? What's that number represent? And the answer is, it doesn't. Right? Harasha ha'isa. It was just simply for the moment. Okay, good. So today we finished off the discussion about the Nedava. The Gemara closed off with a Avshalom rebelling against his father and going to Chevron, and that was a period of Bamas Yachid, and he always and the pretense was he was going to offer his Naziris over there. You see that Naziris is a Nedar Nedava, right? That was the Gemara's conclusion. And then today we started off our discussion of the five chatos and mesos. We went through the five. What about Beit Sibur? Does it supply Beit Sibur? Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon supports the Tanakama based on Svara. And then we digressed for the rest of today going through whether or not a Tzibur can die. Right? The Gemara wanted to make the argument that the Tzibur cannot die. using the karbanos that were brought by Ezra when reintroducing the second temple, and they were bringing a karban for a previous generation. How can they do that? So the argument is, if Sibor doesn't die. But then the Gemara says that you don't have to argue that from that scenario, from that story, you don't necessarily conclude, because it could very well be, and the Gemara brought Pesukim to make its argument, that that wasn't from a previous generation, that was actually the people who are over Avodah Zarah. Okay. Stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots.